I'm Jamie Hurst, and for the MSU Denver Alumni Association, we're excited to bring you Bird Talk, a podcast about our alumni, their careers, and their lives.
Good. She did her homework. Yeah, she's got it right there. I love it.
It's my homework. You won an Emmy. We're going to talk about that.
A Heartland Emmy, but yeah.
Hey, who the fuck cares? It's a fucking Emmy. Today's guest is Eric Lansing. Eric is a 2009 graduate earning his degree in journalism. As a student, Eric was a stalwart member of Met Media, MSU Denver's student-driven multimedia news platform. He held the role of sports editor for the newspaper, sports director for the student-run newscast, and spent a year as the voice of Roadrunner Sports on the university's student-run radio show. In 2007, the Met Report won a regional Emmy for Outstanding Student Excellence. After spending 1 year as an intern for the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, Eric returned home in 2009 to serve as the media producer for Roadrunner Athletics, a role he held for 15 years. If you've ever tuned into a Roadrunner's athletic broadcast, caught up with a team on social media, attended a coach's corner, or even watched a highlight reel, you have witnessed Eric's production magic. Today, Eric is the Assistant Athletics Director for Communications, where he oversees the external operations for the department's 16 athletic programs. In 2022, Eric's contributions to the university were recognized when he received the inaugural Alumni Campus Employee of the Year Award at the annual Alumni Awards Luncheon. In fact, he blew away the competition so much, we named the award after him. He is a member of the Alumni Campus Employee Network, has served on the Board of Student Media, and he helped launch the annual Day of Giving Telethon, all in his spare time. Eric, the literal voice of Roadrunners Athletics and my boss, welcome to Bird Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me. Wow, what an intro. I've been around a long time.
You have been around.
That's a long script. Thanks for reading all of that.
You're welcome. No, I memorized that. It just lives in my heart and my brain. So I know the first thing that people want to know is, what is it like having to be in charge of me when I'm on an open mic and I'm calling softball games?
I like how you said in a previous podcast where I was your boss. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. I'm so scared. No way. No, I know you do a fantastic job for us. You know the program way better than any of us outside of Coach Van Wetzinger herself. So we love having you on. And, you know, there was a couple of times we had to sit and talk. There was one, you mentioned the cursing, but there was also the time you let a student on the broadcast and I had to sit next to you.
I was being a nice, like, I'd come to be a mentor and let a student jump on. And you were like, you can't do that. There's a rule.
I didn't say it like that. But yeah. So no, it's great. We love having you be a part of it. The fans obviously love you. You're not going to be there for the first weekend this year. It's just so disappointing. But I'm excited because I love calling softball.
I know.
And so I'm excited for it.
Well, good. I'm glad that it'll be you standing in my stead.
Yeah, but it'll be me.
But it is funny. I think most people don't know. I know we've talked about how I do this, but I really got involved when I was a student here. And so I know it's awkward. Like, I was a full-time staff employee and, you know, doing my normal day job, but then taking classes on the side. And I also graduated in that mass media and journalism department. I started as a journalism major, and then they did the catalog switch, I think my third or fourth year of taking classes. And so it's actually a PR degree, but it's still in the same academic department at the time. And so I needed an internship. And so I remember being like, hey, so Eric, I need this internship. Can I just do what I'm already doing, but do it in the space? In doing that, I think I realized so quickly at that point in time, like, you rely on student volunteers dramatically to put on all the broadcasts for all of those sports. We talked even just before we sat down about how this week is first week of classes. And all of a sudden we've got two basketball games, big basketball games. We're going to be dealing with track and field coming up. Softball, baseball start at the end of the month. It is a never ending process. And how deeply you have to rely on students is pretty incredible. Is that challenging for you? Do you love that? Is that what keeps you here? Talk me through all things student employees for media.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely tough. You know, when I first graduated, the students we were using we didn't have a big elaborate broadcast as we do now, but I was still utilizing the students. I knew them. They were my friends. So it was easy to be like, yeah, come on, let's hang out. Let's watch sports. We've been doing it anyway. And so at some point, you know, you're not in those classes anymore and you're just trying to be a leader for them, right? And try to get them excited. Everybody's like, I want to do Nuggets. I want to do Broncos. So it's hard to find those students that show that passion and they want to be there because it's time consuming, right? You're there helping set up the whole broadcast. You're there during the broadcast. You're breaking down the broadcast. Is there any post-production, pre-production? You know, if they're doing color commentary, do they have their notes right? Are they going to help with the editing process? And so at some point, you know, you just evolve as a leader. And some years were thin in terms of people that were willing to help. And then I'm trying to learn and try to be patient. I'm not the most patient person in terms of being like, well, I just don't need you then, you know. But it's understanding and being empathetic to, you know, their students. They have jobs, you know, they have families, some of them. And so you just kind of build and then showing them that this is a team.
Yeah.
And when you don't show up, or if you show up late or you're not involved, you're on your phone, you're hurting the team. So you're trying to build that team atmosphere, the culture. So I feel like the last 4 years or so, we've done a really good job in terms of really showing that this is a family in essence, right? If they want to show up, they're hanging out with friends and they're just like athletes, right? They're gonna have these friends and families down the line. And so just being a human being and understanding like that they're students and things are going to happen, the car's going to break down or they have a test due this weekend. It was tough for a while. And I was like, why am I doing this? This is very difficult to work with students. But at some point you find the right students, you really kind of be in their corner, pat them on the back, let them know they're doing great, giving them feedback. You know, it's busy, but you don't want to forget about them either. It's not just we're done with the broadcast, you can go home. It's like, let's talk. And so we always have like these quick meetings afterwards, talk about what went well, what didn't go well. I want to see you guys try different things. It definitely was a process, but I love it. I see the growth in them. And then they go do things after MSU Denver, whether they're going to ESPN or they're going to Altitude or whatever the case, local affiliate stuff. And then having them come back and talk to the students and say, see, it's possible. Everybody talks about the CUs, right? The DUs, and of course the big Division I schools, but you can do what you want here at MSU Denver as well. And so just giving them that picture, that pathway, that it's not that hard to get there, but you got to put in the time and the effort. And it's great. And I love seeing them come back. I just went to breakfast a couple days ago with some kids that were back in 2013 and 14. We're still
kids,
really good
they're now grown-up adults.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But just to see how they're doing. Some of them aren't in sports anymore. Some are doing PR stuff. My buddy Peter, he works for the Avalanche. He brought his Stanley Cup ring. And so, it's great. You know, it's hard. It can be challenging. But at the end of the day, it's great to see them evolve and then just see them as they grow after.
Yeah. You said two things that I think are so spot on. One is that you made the comment that you just kind of have to be a person and realize that. Mm-hmm. I think we struggle so often, just as a society in general, not even us as individuals, but just forgetting that life happens to everybody at a different pace and a different speed. And especially what I think I've learned in my time here is that our population of students are gung-ho. They are going to give you everything that they have at that moment, but they are being pulled in 10 different ways. And we have to remember that. I have to remind myself of that come like finals time when kids are like, oh, I couldn't get my exam in time. And I'm like, son of a, you've had a week. But I have to remember, things do happen and life comes at a different pace. And if we can have that foundation of just be a good human, expect of yourself what you would expect of other people, that gets us there. The other part that I think is incredible is you talking through this idea of that it's not just these students come in, they do the job and they leave, that it is this growth and mentoring aspect. And to me, that is one of those things that I love so much. And I think we see it more in athletics than other places. I know it happens in other places across campus, but we get to see that you're building something. And especially when you think of like sports broadcasting, you think of the sexiness, like, oh, I just want to be on TV and call the game and then I'm done. That is the very tip of the iceberg of what you have to do and what these students have to learn to be good at being the sexy commentator on the air, right? Now, I benefit from it. I just show up, do my things, and leave, right?
So you don't want to be there to help set up or break down afterwards?
I absolutely don't, especially when it's February and we're outside on top of a wind tunnel. No, I want to get the hell out of there. But I do stand firmly in any job that you're in, regardless of the industry that you're in, you're going to be better at it if you understand all of the pieces that come up to it. And that's what I love about the student experience, and especially so much in the media world, where it's like, no. Will I ever edit footage? Probably not if I get to that place where I want to go, but I need to understand how it happens so that I can respect the process and the things I need to do and the people, right? And so it's such a great, beautiful example of what student employment should be on campuses, the experiences that you're getting, their real world experiences, but at the same time, you're also getting to put together a product that is actually what you and I as staff members do.
Yeah.
So I think it's very cool.
I agree. I think, and that's the first thing I tell anybody, because everybody wants to be the next Aaron Andrews or the next Joe Buck or whatever the case. And you have to tell them, like, you have to start from the beginning. You're going to run a camera. It's not super sexy, as you mentioned. Yeah. You have to learn how to kind of see what the technical director is looking for and then work your way up to replay and then do technical directing. And then maybe you're on the microphone. Then you're doing sideline reporting.
So just grab the kid off the camera and put him on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. But they see the process and I think they appreciate it. And I've had so many stories where I have a kid that is doing something in front of the camera, but something's not working behind the camera, and they go and take care of it. Mm-hmm. They see, and then they're like, wow, this is a very multi-versatile person to be able to come in. They're not just a pretty face in front of the camera. They know how things are working. And I've heard numerous stories throughout the years. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, that process to see how everything put together, I think puts them in a position they can put on their resume, like, I know how to set up a broadcast.
Right,
I know
right.
how to set up a mixer and talk with the play-by-play and back and forth. So hopefully I'm doing the right things.
You are. I think as a student that was under your guidance and now as somebody that gets to work alongside you, it is a bright, shining moment for me to see that A, we have students involved in this, and B, that they are being mentored and taken care of and taught along the way and not just thrown to the wolves. Yeah. So yes, you did great.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. And that's our podcast for the day.
See you later, everyone.
Okay. So now you're newly in this assistant athletics director.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out, world.
Yeah. How's that transition been? Because that's been kind of a big move for you. You're going to be less, I say less, but you won't be, but less theoretically hands-on in all of the production that's happening at that moment, and more big picture, how do we really market ourselves? How do we get our media in the right hands? How do we really promote our fantastic athletics department? And that's a little bit of a switch flip for you.
Sure. And I mean, it's exciting in some regards. I haven't had a chance to really do it yet because we don't have our sports information director in place. But, you have to look at it through a different view, right? I think for a long time, for my 16 years here, it's been siloed into this, I'm doing video. And I work with my marketing team and we talk about how we're going to get ready for the promo days this weekend, or if we have Day of Giving coming up, whatever the case may be. But that was someone else's job to actually overlook everything. So now that becomes my job, and overlooking this marketing team and decide how are we going to do things. It's a little scary.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of the people on campus. I know alumni, you, Brandy has done a fantastic job over there. I can reach out to any of you and be like, how do we do this? How do we go forward? How do we set up a plan? So while at this moment, I'm just trying to figure out how to change the stats on the athletics website. That's always in the back of my head to be a good leader for our group, put them in the best position where they're learning to grow. But at the same time, how do people see us, right? And so I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the middle of our search committee for the sports information director. We get that person in place. I want to have this team that, for us in athletics, we're very game day heavy.
Yeah.
We do so much in terms of preparing, whether it's the broadcast, whether it's social media, promotion days. Are we doing enough during the week? Right. And so that's a conversation Bailey Patterson, who works in the marketing department in athletics. Do we do more stuff during the week? Are we really promoting? It's great that players are hitting home runs or they're dunking basketballs, but is it more important to get who they are, what their story is, and can we tell that during the week? So newly in this position, it's can we tell more stories as opposed to, well, here's a game, please show up. You're going to have a good time whether you're at the gym or you're watching online. Some of the thoughts that are going through my mind in terms of how do we promote Roadrunners Athletics in a different view.
Yeah, it is so interesting when you arrive at the place where now you're responsible for shepherding a vision, you know, and especially as the first time of doing that. And you even said it, like you were so siloed in that space. I think often about, gosh, if we were just a little bit more thoughtful about having shared leadership in some of these spaces, gosh, could those thoughts have come to you a little bit earlier, you know? And so I'm really excited for you. You know that you have my support in all things.
Thank you.
I do also believe that your storytelling aspect is actually very key to differentiating us from any other athletics in a very noisy Denver city. I mean, we see that on our side. We don't send you a piece of paper in the, we do send you a piece of paper in the mail that says, give us your money.
You do.
But we don't lead with, we need your money. We're poor, help. You know, like we don't do that. We say, hey, let me tell you a story about my friend DeMarley, and let me tell you why he's so important to this space and what his journey has been, so that by the end of the 30 seconds that you're going to dedicate at best to taking a look at whatever we send you in the mail, email, social media, that you say, oh, I am touched, I am moved, I'm curious in some different way, and so now I'm going to explore a little bit more. And I think especially at the Division II level, you have that deference to do that. Where you're not doing that at the D1 level. And they probably could be, but it's turned into so much of a business, as you and I have talked about, that they're not, that I think you have a wheelhouse to be able to tell personal stories that are going to inspire more people to want to be a part of it. I mean, even Brad Kaplan was on last month, and his whole thing was like, no, I like to get to know the students. And I was like, so why Roadrunners Athletics? Why is this? And he's like, oh, because I get to know the students. And that is so unique from other places, right? You come to a gym. I mean, we're playing Mines this week, right? You said?
No, Thursday, yeah.
Thursday. That'll be well after we publish this. We played Mines on Thursday and destroyed them for lead in the RMAC standings. But you can still walk into a very high level game, yeah. right? That has consequences for regional and national rankings, all that kind of stuff. And you're still going to be able to be in a space that you feel intimate to be like, oh, I actually know that kid. That kid does this. Yeah, he's this. Oh, there are his parents over there. You don't get that when you're going to a gigantic arena. And so I think you have a unique opportunity, and I love that you're bringing that up.
And how lucky are we to have a diverse campus, right? We mm-hmm. are HSI and just the mm-hmm. different, you know, hardworking class kids, older students, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the old kid in the class at UNC. I'm sure we'll talk about that later in terms of master's program. But yeah, I think it's great to be able to go to different avenues and different stories and different people and how they got to MSU Denver, mm-hmm. whether they were here before and left, came back. And so we have 16 sports here in mm-hmm. MSU Denver, and different sports leads to different type of people. We have international kids mm-hmm. coming over, right, yep. too, to be able to hear their stories. And so what we're doing now in terms of athletics, we're so game day heavy that we don't get to some of those stories. Yeah. We try, but, you know, there's only so many of us. You know, we don't have the Deion Sanders team of 20 or whatever it is.
Just
for him. So that's something we'll look at, you know, mm-hmm. how important is game day compared to the rest of the week. And that'll be some of the stuff we kind of talk about.
Do you think Deion's leaving CU?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if Dallas would be the only place,
well,
he's familiar.
He's
linked, right?
He is, and he has been said that is a place that I think at least have reached out to him. So I think he'd be dumb not to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest stage. He probably has more familiarity with the pros.
Yep, I know.
Kudos to him. I'm not going to lie, I was a big Deion hater when he got here. I was like, oh, he's just going to get everybody to come just because they know who he is. Mm-hmm. But he turned that team into a winning football program. So kudos to him.
His son was not bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
Turns out
no
he was okay.
No kidding.
That's fantastic. So you talked a little bit about students that have gone on to other places. So we have students like Jordan, who did your sideline report forever, and now she's in professional media. Like when you get to see her on the internet and on TV, like what does that feel like?
Oh, it's a great feeling, you know, especially for someone like her. Jordan Schachterly came in, wanted to do social media. I could hear her voice booming down the hallways, like, no, you're coming my direction and doing TV. And so she was already ahead of the game. And you love those ambitious kids that already have some experience under their belt. She was working for Mile High Baseball and doing different things for them over the summer. And she just had a drive and an ambition. And you want them because they're working harder than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And so for her to come in, and she was doing play-by-play by herself for baseball mm-hmm. all season. And then she was doing sideline and just helped us with numerous things mm-hmm. outside of game day too, in terms of we were doing those Roadrunner rallies, well, whether it was at the Tivoli mm-hmm. or the iPi. And so you just wanted the best for her. Mm-hmm. She was such a baseball nut that she really wanted to be there. And she was doing stuff at North Carolina during her junior and senior years, and she was calling baseball games for them. Mm-hmm. For her to be able to grab that, mm-hmm. work with it, and then go into the industry, and she was doing AAA.
Yeah, she was Iowa Cubs.
Iowa's Cubs, right? Yeah. And so to be able
in
to
Des Moines,
call
in Iowa, been to a game there.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so for her to be able to do social media for them, she's just got to be loving life. And so I'm super proud of her. We talked about the kid with the Stanley Cup ring. Mm-hmm. I had a kid that worked over at the NFL Network for 5 years, then did Spectrum. So he was doing mm-hmm. like pregame, postgame for Lakers games. It's amazing to see because they work so hard. And you know those kids that care. I always tell the kids when I first talk to them, when I go to classes here on campus, the best kids cared about Roadrunners athletics. Mm-hmm. They cared about what they did when they weren't at games, mm-hmm. right? We're texting. Did you see what the Roadrunners did this past weekend? Did you see this player do that thing? Mm-hmm. Those kids that really kind of bought in, cared, showed passion, it's going to show in your demo reels. Yeah. It's going to show in those conversations you have when you're in those interviews for whatever position. And so we're so lucky to have Roadrunners athletics with coaches and players that are so accessible.
Yeah.
There's rarely egos with our coaches, with our players. There's going to be some, but I mean, for the most part, if we need something, they're going to be willing to allow us to do it. To be able to have students understand that maybe this is not how it's going to be in the real world all the time. There's going to be egos when you get to mm-hmm. a certain point, that they were able to get what they needed in that return. So, I mean, I'm so blessed to be able to see these kids, have them reach out. I'll see them on social media, give them a, hey, I mm-hmm. saw that great job. Mm-hmm. Seems like things are going well. Tell me about it. Come talk to my kids. Let me know, you know, tell them how things are and say, yeah, I worked with Roadrunners TV and look where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. So again, there's that path. You want that belief.
Yeah.
And I've seen it since I was a student. Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's Roadrunners Athletics. They're Division II, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's all this negative right out of the gate. I want to do Avs. I want to do Nuggets. I want to do Rockies. But you can't. We're a top 20 market.
Right.
It's really hard to get in here. And we're not LA. We're not Chicago. There's some people that aspire to get to those places. Mm-hmm. Colorado is kind of a laid back type of market. And so they're never leaving, right? Drew Goodman's been here forever, right? And so Chris Marlowe's been here forever because they like that it's still big time, but it's not super big time where the pressure is on them. So it's really hard to get any kind of job in this industry, at least at that level.
Sure.
So yeah, I love it. And I don't have kids personally, right? Yeah. These are my kids. Yeah, I call them my kids.
Yeah.
Just so thrilled to be able to see them do great things after MSU Denver.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So 15, 16 years on campus.
Yeah.
It obviously wasn't what it is now.
That is very true.
What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen? We'll start with athletics, like from an athletic standpoint. And then I really want to know how your job has been made easier with the facilities, because I have to imagine much better than setting up tripods right behind a backstop.
That's a whole podcast by itself, honestly.
Yeah, right?
And I've been coming to school. I went to school here since 2001 and graduated 2009.
Okay,
and so on top of those 16 years, I was here on campus. So. And so there was no hospitality building.
Nope.
There was no science building. I was one of the first classes in the Plaza building.
Oh, my goodness.
So I've been around a long time. Yeah, in terms of change in athletics, you know, I mean, facilities is an obvious one. Technologies is an obvious one. You know, Joe McDermott, her vision, it didn't matter what you had resource-wise. She brought in the right culture people.
Yeah.
And you kind of saw that grow. And then you see the Adrian Pizzas of the world, the Debbie Hendricks of the world, and Danny Sanchez's and all those. And so that's why I was super enthralled when I was a student to see. I was in awe of these coaches and then the student athletes that they brought in, the same thing. And in awe of Joan McDermott, who's one of my heroes.
Yeah.
For
Agreed.
Sure. Because, I mean, obviously she hired me, but I mean, it was just more than that, right?
Yeah.
She believed in me when I didn't believe in me, right?
Yeah.
And so to have her and what she was able to, I mean, you see it at every Hall of Fame. Everybody thanks Joan.
And Joan's been gone for years, but it is
exactly.
It is so true.
The same thing.
I know. I ran into her at the conference tournament when we were out at Mesa.
Oh, yeah.
And the conversations are always the same in terms of like, what's her vision, where she's going, even when wherever she's landed. And like, to me, I mean, and she's a tiny little woman, right?
Yeah.
And so it is just this powerhouse of a human wrapped in a very small stature that I think probably at the start of her career, let her slide under the radar, right? But you think through what she's done, and then especially in partnership with Dr. Jordan, when he was serving as the D2 president, basically at the NCAA, like the representative president, like what they were able to do to uplift athletics at this level, let alone at this institution, is just remarkable. And I don't know that we've seen a growth like that really across D2 since then, you know?
I agree. There's just something about Joan and her personality that just radiates, I think. While she knows so much, she has so much influence. When I see her, it's like, how is your family doing, right? How are things at MSU Denver? She'll ask you about you first, and then she'll kind of ask you about your job. There's just something about her personality. It's the way she carries herself. Mm-hmm. It's not intimidating, but you know that she brings power and influence to the table. So maybe there's something about that that really kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Have you ever heard one of Annie's first interactions with her?
I don't think so.
It's the greatest story, and I'm going to butcher it because I'm not Annie. But it was when Annie was coaching at Mines, and Metro was hosting the conference tournament. So this would have been the year they went to
College World Series.
So 2008. And so Mines was here. Obviously, MSU Denver's playing. I say Metro because they were Metro still at that point in time. You know, I think it's, what, 8 teams that come to conference tournament. Mm-hmm. And so Annie's sitting outside, and this is the old temporary field. So there's just like bleachers brought in right field so you can see over the little tiny podunk plastic fence.
That's right.
And she's sitting with her assistant right next to, I won't say what school they're from, but another school in the RMAX coaches and just, you know, being collegial and talking. Metro is playing, I think, Mesa at the time. And this is like a really big game to decide who's going to keep the high seed to play and whatever. And the other team's coaches that were sitting next to them, I won't call them out by name, apparently had shared like their scouting report and their spray charts and hitting reports with Mesa to try and beat MSU Denver because Metro was like at the top of the conference. And so I guess Joan, because she, you know, hosting here, walks in the background, walks up to him, says, "Hi, Annie, how are you doing? You're doing great things at mine." She's like, "Okay, great." And then she turns to talk to the other coaches and she was like, "So heard you were sharing like scouting reports in our conference," which is not, it's frowned upon if you don't know that. You don't do that. You don't share in conference. And I guess those coaches got a little flustered and were like, and so Annie, of course, was like, I'm not a part of this. And of course, Joan's like, no, you're fine. And she's like, "So why did you feel inclined to do that? Are you hoping for Mesa to win? Like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish?" Next pitch, Metro hits a home run, like deep center field, gone. And I guess Joan just goes, "Looks like it didn't work.
Guess we didn't need it. Guess we didn't really need it." Yeah.
And so Annie tells this story because Joan had tried to hire Annie a couple times, once directly from Mines, once when she was at Upper Iowa. And then finally, when she called the third time, she even said to Annie, like, "This is the last time I'm going to try and hire you." And so she told me that story. And I was like, that's about as spot on as you could possibly get. Just like, why are you doing that? Are you rooting for Mesa to win? dink home run and just like, oh, looks like it didn't help. And then just walked away. And I was like, but that to me encapsulates Joan. She's not rude. She's not mean. She's not any of those things. Yeah. But like a woman of so few words, but when she says them, man, are they powerful. And you've seen what vision she has for what athletics can be at all the institutions that she's been at. And it's just been incredible. And I think we are so fortunate here that she was here 20 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Just about 20 years to really build it at a time when especially female athletics wasn't cared for in the same way that men's were, and to watch her grow those programs and be so thoughtful. And to your point, the coaches she brought in, whether it was A or Debbie, just people that are bought into this, that are in this space and that are going to be workhorses for the betterment of our students. And it's been pretty incredible.
Yeah. And to have that good culture. I mean, any of the coaches at that time, I felt like I could go up and talk to, even as a student reporter. My favorite Joan story was, and I was a very naive sports reporter for the newspaper, the Metropolitan here. And instead of, you know, going through the SID to talk to Joan, I reached out to Joan directly, right?
Sure,
not knowing,
as one does.
But yeah, of course. So, but I mean, she called me back, and at that time, I didn't realize like the importance and the significance of it.
Deal.
She talked to me and gave me what I needed. I said thank you and appreciate it. Then down the line, you're like, oh, I was supposed to go this way to go get her, but that just showed that she was willing to work and understand what I was trying to do, and then just stayed with me.
Yeah.
And then for her to hire me after the fact, you know, out of all that, really says a lot. Just something about her bringing those good culture people in that just get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're Division II. We're not D1 with the egos and the money, especially with the NIL stuff now. It's just more about trying to be a family. We want to win. We want to do it the right way. We're super competitive. We want to win. We're not just going through the motions because we're a university and we need enrollment. We want to win. And, and so it just kind of followed with her the whole way. And gosh, so much success under her.
Oh, it's the truth. And now in a great position where I feel like we've turned a corner again with athletics. You know, there's a couple years of just, I'd say lull for us, but
for
it was
us,
just that we weren't winning everything all the time. And it's been really exciting. We saw women's soccer head back to regionals. Men are nationally ranked still, right?
Yeah, that up to 13 from a couple hours ago.
Which is huge. Women's volleyball, of course. They just
number
are.
Number one.
Right? Right. And even our women's softball program, baseball program, I'm looking forward to good
40 wins a year.
I know. I mean, it's just really delightful to see as a fan, just be like, okay, things are kind of turning a corner again and we can start to expect a lot of success. I think where we struggled for a bit was just the fact that we were so focused on what we needed to do to be good. And the rest of the conference just hadn't done that yet. And then they caught up.
Right.
And so it wasn't that we 100%. Changed what we did or that anything. They just caught up and they realized, oh, we want to compete. We should probably invest in things. And so you saw, you know, budgets for schools in the RMAC that were probably significantly less than what we were operating all of a sudden soar past us.
Yeah.
So it's nice to kind of see that level setting. I will die on the hill that regionalization is horrible because we are never going to have the funding or the environment that we need in order to compete with Texas schools. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's a tough job for a coach.
It
but
is.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody caught up.
Mm-hmm.
I was an intern at the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, so I got to see the inner workings of how we're viewed in terms of MSU Denver or Metro State back then. And I feel like we were on a pedestal compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
Like what Joan did there was incredible, and the resources weren't put into the other schools and their programs as much as, and all of a sudden we were just like, you know, those Learfield standings, we were always near the top, us and Kearney, right? And of course, Kearney and what they were able to do now in the MIAA. But then people realize, like, we need to put resources. And at some point, you just kind of, I don't want to say go through the motions, but you're just like, yeah, we're great. All of a sudden, Mines, Mesa, UCCS is coming into the mix now. And at some point, you're like, okay, what do we have to do to get back to there? And and that's a tough process because resources, coaches, a couple of ADs since Joan. So,
I think facilities were, and again, so glad for the vision that Joan had and Dr. Jordan to say, nope, we need to kind of elevate that space, because I will stand by that our baseball and softball facilities are the best in the nation at Division II and better than most Division I schools. In fact, Annie was just at the NCAA convention because Shelby was a finalist for
I heard she's going to be on the show. Is that right?
I got to get her on here. Yeah I'll just make a call and
amazing,
say, Shelby, you got to get here. So they were in Nashville for that, and she ran into Karen Weekly, who's the softball coach at Tennessee. And so big name, like someone I've watched on TV forever. Yeah. She's like, oh yeah, I saw Karen. I was like, Karen who? She's like, Weekly. I was like, oh, like you hobnob with important people that I watch on ESPN. But she was like, oh, is that one of your kids? Oh yeah, you're at MSU Denver. And she's like, yeah, I was at your facility this summer. And Annie had told me that because we host a handful of clinics or showcases when the Sparkler and the fireworks and all of the like biggest tournament in, I don't know. the largest club softball tournaments in the nation are held here in Denver, from everywhere from Denver all the way to Fort Collins over like 4th of July time. And so you've got tens of thousands of people and recruits. And it's fantastic for us because Annie's like, well, I'll just open up my field, charge you money, and then everybody can come and watch you play and work out, and coaches will be there. And so I guess Karen Weekly had come and seen the facility, and so made a point that when she saw her last week in Nashville, was like, yeah, your facility is unbelievable. Guy's just walking around going, who are these Roadrunners from MSU Denver, and how did they land this fantastic space? But I have to imagine that that thoughtful investment and strategic to help us elevate those sports. But then when I think about the work that you do, man, it has to have made it a lot easier.
Let me tell you. I mean, we couldn't even broadcast baseball games.
Yeah.
We would film highlights from the garage.
Oh, sure.
So we would be on the third or fourth floor. You're not hearing the pings or the coaches.
Yeah, of the Tivoli garage.
You're hearing the complaining of my students because they're in a hot box, especially when it's summertime. Yeah. And then even for like soccer, we had to roll out 200-300-foot Ethernet cables to go from a module all the way out to the soccer field. And then, so I was there maybe 3 or 4 hours unrolling it. And if it's dirty or it's muddy or it's snowing outside, so we're unraveling it. Then we have to ravel it back up because we can't just leave it out there and from Friday to Sunday or Thursday to Sunday. And even then, we were had a camera up on a gator, so you couldn't see the corners for soccer at all.
Kind of important.
Right? And so, once we got these facilities, you know, I mean, I am very excited to have it. I have to tell my kids what it was like back in the day as an old man would, right?
Sure,
you know, just like, you don't know
walking
what it's like,
both
you know?
Ways,
So, you're outside, but you're not out here on the ground and trying to see over it. Because, I mean, when we did play-by-play, we did it at a table 5 feet behind the scorer's table. So we're trying to look over the bench, looking over Ken Parsons and his golf cart that's sitting right in front of us. Ken Parsons, our men's soccer coach for a while. And so it was very difficult, but now it's just, we're able to roll a TriCaster out there, just a couple cables here and there, and we're off and running. Ethernet power, all there available to us.
Multi-camera broadcast,
100%. And so to be able to have everything kind of connected right there allows us to do more things, right? I think at some point you're just like, I'm just so exhausted. All we can do is play-by-play with one camera, no graphics, no nothing. We're just trying to get highlights put on the web. Now we have a full-fledged broadcast that I don't know if it's the best in Division II. I'm not going to argue that or not, but we put together a great broadcast that there's care in it. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I care. I love being a Roadrunner. I've been here for all these years because I love what the institution's pushing. I love what we're trying to do for not just my broadcast students, but for the student athletes and for the coaches. And so to be able to do that, just it's exciting.
Come on down, Roadrunners. You're the next contestant on MSU Denver's Day of Giving. That's right, MSU Denver's 9th annual Day of Giving is just around the corner. Join us on March 20th for 24 hours dedicated to supporting all things MSU Denver, raising money in support of our incredible university and its deserving students. This year's theme is classic game shows, so whether you want to solve the puzzle for student support or spin the wheel of giving, make sure you save the date for March 20th. Visit msudenver.edu/dayofgiving to learn more. This episode is brought to you by The Swallow. Dr. Pepper. I will say the one detriment to having better broadcasts and better technology and the ability to do this is that if something goes wrong or we don't have something, the amount of people that will text me while I'm on the air or tweet at me like, the scoreboard's wrong.
What's going on?
Guys, things happen. As with all technology, it needs to be replaced every 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
We're on year 11 at the facility. So you guys can gather that there's sometimes we're piecemealing a few things together. But I do love that they've come to just expect that standard of like, no, you're going to get a full-blown
We're going to do our best.
Experience.
And we appreciate it because maybe we don't know something's not working because we only have so many people maybe on a weekend.
Right.
So, yeah, we love
especially when you're split. Like, I think most of our thousands of listeners probably don't know that, like, it is a two-man team, realistically, when we're talking about communications and marketing. And really, you were a one-man video team. We're talking about in the fall, you could go directly from men's soccer to women's soccer and then have to go run across campus to the indoor facility to set up for a nighttime volleyball game.
Yeah.
And in the springs, it's no different. You've got baseball and softball oftentimes happening simultaneously. And then you're also at the same time trying to make sure that you're getting tennis what they need and make sure you're reporting out on golf and track and field. And so the reason I got out of college athletics because I was like, oh, I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And so it is a hustle. So to be able to do something at a high level that is that impactful is, I think, sometimes unknown, not even overlooked. It's just unknown.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's unappreciated.
No.
Because I think at some point, at the end of the day, you look back like, wow, we just did all of that.
Yeah. I mean, February is the worst.
Oh, I mean, first week because, in the softball, right? Yeah, basketball's happening at the same exact time.
Men's and women's basketball, softball, and potentially you could have baseball. We don't for that opening weekend. Yeah. They're smart and they went somewhere warm instead of deciding to.
5 straight weeks at the beginning of last year.
I know, right? Yeah. Again, just you guys do a great job, and it's been fun to be a, whatever slight part of it I am.
I couldn't do it by myself. I have a great bunch of broadcast students. You know, I think my team's somewhere around 17 or 18 kids.
Yeah.
And so you have the ability to be able to put people in different places, and you try to give them as much as you can while you can be able to sit there. We have softball next week, and I'll be there. I might be doing camera. I don't know. And then men and women's basketball going on that they feel like they're comfortable and they can do it and they want to, right?
Yeah.
You empower students. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I can't be there. I want you guys to handle it.
Yeah.
And then they take that challenge. And so, again, seeing them grow and then be able to do all of this for the student athletes and the coaches so they feel appreciated that we're putting out their great product out for the whole world to see. Yeah, it's a grind. But, I mean, 16 years, I must like it enough.
Yeah, enough, right?
Yeah.
So if tomorrow you get some other position that takes you out of MSU Denver, you're out of this, but they come back and they say, hey, we still want you to do something here. What is the thing you choose to do that you love to
do? It'll be play-by-play.
Yeah, you know, what sport?
Any of them.
Any of them?
I mean, baseball is my favorite.
Yeah.
I played baseball in high school.
Yeah.
Most of you know me. I'm a big Orioles fan, so I'll try to watch as many Orioles games as I can. But I think baseball above everything else. But I mean, I love softball. I mean, I'm just in the same vein as, you know, and I've hated soccer growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I never played it, so I didn't really understand it. And then I went to school here, started covering it for the paper, talking to coaches every week. And now I have a huge appreciation for it. And volleyball, didn't know anything. And I have a huge appreciation for it. I would like to do play-by-play for all of them.
Yeah.
Started my master's program right at UNC based on your recommendation, by the
way. You're welcome. Another great intro I wrote for you.
That's right. Yes, yes. And so trying to learn that avenue again.
Yeah.
And my plan was, okay, I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to teach. I'm going to slowly get out of athletics. My body can only hold so much, up for so much longer. And then do play-by-play on the side and still be involved in Roadrunners athletics. That's my favorite thing to do. But I can't do it all the time now because you got to make sure everything's being taken care of. It's tough.
That's why I always say my interest and my excitement for doing aspects of my job is in complete opposite order in which I'm paid.
Yeah.
I'm like play 100%. By play, favorite thing to do, not going to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Teaching, second favorite thing to do, not going to pay the bills. Then this other job. I mean, now with the podcast, it's a little bit more fun. But
I just think the podcast, everybody that's working on this, you know, they are so lucky to have you in that regard. You're the smartest person I may know.
You heard that. Smartest person he
because
may know.
I was talking about this with my group the other day, and they were just like, let's talk about the people that you met. And I was like, gosh, Jamie Hurst knows everything about everything. And so there's no one better to host this podcast because you understand financial, religion, right? You can, your vast experience of knowledge of everything. I'm just in awe.
Yeah.
And you're still going to school and learning and you're teaching. This podcast, so lucky to have you in that regard.
Well, I know something about a lot of
things.
Wow. Enough to be able to bullshit my way through whatever the conversation would be. My dad used to always call me a Renaissance woman in that regard because he used to get so like tickled because we'd go somewhere. Like even when I took him to spring training, one year when you actually covered for me for softball broadcast because I took my dad to spring training, I ran into somebody I went to graduate school with. And when we were in Minnesota going to see a Twins game when he was visiting me in Ames and we were parked at Target Field, and all of a sudden we get out of the car and I hear this Jamie, and it's somebody that I knew from high school. I'm one of those people that can't go anywhere without seeing somebody that I know. I mean, I ran into Dr. Davidson at the Washington, D.C. airport once, which I know makes more sense for her because she flies back and forth a lot. But I was taking my mom out to D.C. because she'd never been, so to just go see everything. This was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And all of a sudden, I hear this Jamie, and I was like, Mom, this is the president of the year, you know? But my dad would be with me for many of these things, and he used to just get so tickled that he's like, you can't go anywhere without knowing somebody. He's like, and then you'll just have a conversation with him for 10 minutes about whatever. I was like, well, I think my brain works in a way that I remember little things, right? Like, it is burned in my brain that you're an Orioles fan, so even when we get our Rockies tickets and they were playing the Orioles last year, I'm just like, those are side. And so you don't have to know all the things, but if you treat people like humans and remember that one or two things that make them go, oh my gosh, you actually heard me when I spoke, you can open up a breadth of conversation and opportunity.
Brad Kaplan is a fantastic story.
Yep.
Like I was telling you, like, I could never do your job.
Yeah.
But the way you explained to me how you did your job and how you worked with Brad Kaplan in that, That's why you're still here.
Yeah,
that's why everybody's lucky to have you.
It's literally just an attention to detail and just being a human.
Just listening.
Like, it is. It's 100%. And I know that's funny for me to say because I talk a lot too, but it is. It's just listening and listening to hear, not just so that you can respond or that you can do this. It's listening to hear what they're trying to say. And people just want to be heard. I think the society that we live in that is so tech and social media based focused, it's not often you get to sit across from somebody and just have a conversation. And so when people have that opportunity to talk about the things that they care about, the things that maybe are causing them angst or the things that they have hope for, and you just sit and listen, then it's like, oh, that is a connection that I don't think happens as often as it should when we're dealing behind screens, right?
You do a great job of finding that connection.
Thank you. Yeah, and this is the podcast where Jamie gets fluffed up and feels a lot better about herself.
I brought her coffee today. You got to make sure, right?
I know. I know you texted me last night like, hey, do I need to come early for podcast talk? I'll bring you coffee. I was like, well, I'm not going to say no. It's not the first time you've brought me beverages to keep me happy.
No, I mean, I appreciate you.
And I you. But you do. You always
You said you adored me on another podcast.
I do adore you. I do. And I reserve adoring for things that I truly adore. Aww. You'll bring me Dr. Peppers. You brought me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, homemade once for a day.
I don't know
that
if they were good, but homemade.
I ate them. I'll tell you that.
You take care of the people that take care of you.
There you go.
And I think it just goes a long way in any industry.
Yeah.
I think as long as people care and they show, and I mean, like I said, I'm not the smartest or brightest individual, but if you show you care, willing to put your work ethic out there,
100%.
It's going to take you such a long way.
100%. Just try and care and treat people well, which is pretty great.
It's amazing.
So you do play-by-play. One thing we have to talk about, and I think I mentioned this when you won your award, which, again, I'll mention, is now named the Eric Lansing.
Crazy, isn't it? I think we were joking when we were talking about that first day we were there. I think one of my friends said it, and I was like, don't say that. And then she goes, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, yep, we're naming it after you because no one's going to beat that. Yeah. But I mentioned it when I got to do the intro for you that day. You got to call a perfect game here.
I did. Wondering if it was going to go foul, but it stayed fair, and Gonzalez picks up another home run here for MSU Denver here this afternoon, making it 13-0. Just one out left remaining in this game. To the left side, Anderson gets it. The perfect game. Cade Crater, 9 innings, no base hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts, and the victory. The perfect game. Can you believe it? We witness history here on this field. Incredible. Look at him go.
Oh, wild stuff, right?
Super wild.
And especially as a baseball fan, and at some point you're just like, don't say no hitter. Don't say it. Don't say no hitter. Don't say perfect game.
Yeah.
Just say they didn't come up with a base hit. We'll see if they get up and get it here. And so as I'm getting in, I'm like, do I set up an ending?
Yeah.
Like, do I write out what I want to say, or do I let my emotions,
emotions 100%.
Take over? And I was like, just let the emotions, right? Yeah. And so when it happened and you're just like, okay, try not to flub up, but just like let it go.
Yeah.
And I've listened back to it a couple times, and local affiliate, I think it was Fox, like they aired it with my play-by-play.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it turned out so well, right? Yeah. It never happened in the RMAC, ever in the history of the RMAC. And obviously the first time for us, but it was quite the experience as a baseball fan to see that happen, right? He's just rolling, he's mowing guys down, striking them out, getting through another inning. You know, you start to get to the fifth inning, like, okay, still not a base hit. Okay. Sixth inning, oh my gosh, here we go. And so, one of the most epic moments.
Yeah, and it was a great call. I've listened to it a handful of times, which is great. And I'm with you that I would just go with emotions, because the few times that I've ever tried to like script something or write something down to be like, oh, if this happens, this is what I'm going to say, I just mess it completely up. I do cheer often on the broadcast more than I probably should. I think I have gone back and like, even when you do highlights and I'll watch the highlights, like not to watch myself, just to watch the highlights of the girls, and I'll be like, add a girl. Add a girl to everybody that like hits a home run or makes a good play. But I do have a few things up my sleeve for this season.
Ooh,
I know.
I'm excited.
I know.
That.
I am really bummed to not be able to do the very
Tennessee
first weekend.
Billings,
I know. And it's my buddy Joe,
you said your
the
friend
head coach.
Was,
So, and so many cool accolades, which I know you're going to talk through in terms of what Shelby has been acknowledged for. I mean, we talked a little bit about it. You're talking about the most prestigious award that a female student athlete across any division can get. And she was in that finalist pool, which really finalist is winning the award. I think they probably just pick someone out of a hat because they're all fantastic women. But to be the NCAA Woman of the Year, regardless of the division that you play at, is just a testament to who she is as a person, who she was as an athlete, the respect I think that people have for our softball program and for our athletics department. And that was just one of a handful of accolades. So I'm excited to hear you get to talk about all of those as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm so happy for Shelby. Mm-hmm. Just knowing her since as a freshman and a senior, I mean, anytime she would be working a basketball game, and I'd say, hey, do you know about Shelby Robb? She hit 525 as a freshman. How crazy is that? And just embarrassed the heck out of her.
Right.
And she would just roll with it, you know? And she was just such a great person. And she went through that ACL injury. And it's a tough injury for anybody because you don't know what you're going to feel like when you come back after that. And she always just smiled and it was always so positive. And so well-deserved, and I'm excited to talk about her 100%. And I know the fans are going to be bummed that it's not you on the broadcast.
They'll be fine. They'll be in good hands.
Yeah.
I'll be listening.
It'll be fun.
Discreetly with probably a hidden earphone while I'm sitting in a cabinet meeting in Omaha. And people will ask me a question. I'll be like, I'm sorry, what? I have priorities here. She recently got engaged, too. Did you know that?
I did know that. I knew that was coming. She told me the story about it. And so, she.
Yeah, her save the dates on our fridge. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Happy for Shelby.
I know. It's wonderful. So you talked a little bit about your master's degree. So you're at UNC.
Correct.
What is your degree in totally?
Educational technology.
Okay.
So the idea was to get a program that I could teach with. And so I'm learning about K through 12 education, which I've never really thought about. I don't want to teach K through 12. I want to teach college students. But it has opened my vision about what it was. I'm in this class with other K through 12 teachers and, you go to your discussion posts and whatnot and just hearing them. And I have no experience, but I just talk about my college experience working with college students and seeing how they do it on their level at K through 12. But just going through some of this, I grew up in an age where you went to class, you learned it, had to memorize it, and that's how you passed tests.
Yep.
And I thrived on that. I was a great student because I could do all of that. But how everything is changing, social, emotional teaching, right? 21st century teaching, it's a totally different world.
Now, could you imagine if our teachers actually cared about
it? Yeah, 100%, right? I mean, we had the same teacher. When we just sit in a class, at least early on. Then in high school, you go to different teachers, but it was the same thing. You taught to memorize.
100%.
And that's not how you learn soft skills that way. I mean, I'm getting emotional reading this stuff.
Because
I wish I would have had that. Maybe I would be in a different world or thought process if I was taught this way.
We were taught soft skills by being kicked out of our house Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and being like, don't come home till dinner. Figure it out.
100%, right?
And there's a ton of things that in my weird, whatever they call us, ex-lennials where, 1982, I'm right in the middle of things where I had the internet, but not till I was in high school. And where I'm like, no, I think there's a level of toughness and grit that I have because
of that.
There wasn't but also what could I have saved myself the trouble of learning the hard way if someone had actually said the words to me emotional intelligence before I was in graduate school reading a book about emotional intelligence. I was like, I don't understand what what are we talking,
we learned on our own.
Correct.
A lot of it in the real world. We were built different. We had to stand up for ourselves. Or I'm not condoning bullying, but there's something to that. You learn to stand up for yourself and build a callus on you. And so it's amazing just to see how they're teaching, how they're changing, more project-based learning and getting them into something they're excited about. It's not just, here's what we're learning today and that's it. It's how do we cater this to this student and cater it to this student. So I was just like, well, I'm just going to get through this and little as possible. But now I'm just reading everything and I'm super excited about it.
That's so awesome.
Still learning at 44 years old, really tough. I'm writing everything down on a sheet of paper. I'm the only one who writes on sheets of paper and notebooks.
But they say that's actually more effective for you to retain information than
especially
typing.
Especially my age. I don't have a sponge brain anymore.
Well, I was I was the old kid in law school. And I just remember the very first time I was so mortified that I was in this situation with these young people. And I was taking classes on the weekend at this point in time. And I did not bring a laptop because same thing. I'd never taken notes on a laptop. We didn't have laptops when I was in college. I had a big Dell desktop, my last year that it was oh my God, I have my own computer. This is incredible. But I remember going there, with my notebook and taking notes and looking at the students sitting in front of me that are shopping. We're in the middle of a Civ Pro lecture and they're on Amazon. And I just remember being holy, you gotta be kidding me. And I'm do you know? And of course, then my brain goes into ridiculous mode and I calculated exactly how much I was paying per hour sitting there. And I was and you're shopping on Amazon and I'm sitting here handwriting notes. That was a big switch for me. And I think I was maybe 28 or 29, so I wasn't that old, but it was one of those things where, there's different ways to do things, and one is not right or wrong, Jamie.
Correct.
Stop being a judgmental little bitch, right? But I'm glad you're doing that, and I think it's an exciting thing, especially for us that work in higher education and are so hands-on with students. I think reminding ourselves, which is why I love to teach too, reminding ourselves of the student experience and that we cannot equate it to what ours was.
Correct.
Being in a classroom is allowing us to see things through a different lens that, again, full circle, allows us to be better humans.
Right.
When we
sympathize, empathize.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. And it's great to be able to understand. Mm-hmm. For a long time, it's like, well, you don't want to help? I'm done with you. I don't want to. No, you right. can't be that way. You're not going to keep kids that way. Yeah. You have to understand and appreciate yeah. their situation is going to be so much different than yours mm-hmm. and this other student. Doesn't mean they less care, yeah. they're less ambitious. That's life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and just understanding, like, they're paying for college. Yeah. That's, you know, that's yeah. a lot of money, even yep. though we don't charge as much as some of those other yeah. schools here in the state. But yeah, so I hope it makes me a better leader. I don't know. I mean, but to me,
it will, and
master
it does.
Yeah. doing this program has really yeah. opened my eyes, and I'm excited to see where else it's going to teach me. AI stuff, right? I'm not a big AI person. I know it's a big conversation, but I'm going to learn yeah. some of that this semester.
Yeah.
And like, how can that help me? How can that help our marketing department?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like trying to take it for all it's worth and utilize it.
On face value, it can just write all of your social media posts.
Yes.
And
yes.
pretty much free up Bailey for all sorts of things.
Yeah, we were talking.
Yeah.
She does it
yeah.
to write recaps of
yeah.
games because we're having to write recaps.
100%.
And she said it didn't work the first couple of times, but she figured it out. Now she
yeah.
just puts in the box score and it works.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go there yet. I
yeah.
like the personality,
sure.
being personable, having the quotes from the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're busy and you can't,
yep.
just pop it in.
Yep,
and even with AI with video, mm-hmm. right? In terms of, and David will appreciate this, we talked to a couple different programs out there that'll take our broadcast feed and it'll automatically separate it by player highlights.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I was doing 7:30 last night. I was going through
yeah.
men's basketball from Saturday because I didn't have time to do it earlier.
Yeah.
And then go through, okay, here's this player, here's this player, here's
yep.
this player. And apparently there's a system out there that does it automatically,
mm-hmm.
put it on the website
yep.
by player and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, wow.
I know. There's a lot to be grateful for in terms of how efficient things can be done.
Yeah.
I'm with you
yeah.
that I still struggle slightly with the personality piece behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I think technology will continue to evolve, and the more people that use it, it'll start to understand more stuff. It is exciting, but also like, oh God, there's
yeah.
a lot there. So
I wonder, thinking about that kind of technology in existence, what that will mean for getting players ready to play other people, right? If you are watching,
oh, sure.
and how the technology could then tell you what you need to look for. Oh, this guy's got like,
oh,
a
yeah, it already wicked, does.
Yeah, oh my
mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's,
there's, yeah, all the scouting programs now all have AI things in that it's just like, instead of having to, like, I remember holding the pitchers catchers meeting. And so it's me, whoever was going to be my starting pitcher, and then kind of whoever else was up for bullpen, with our pitching coach sitting in a hotel room going through pitching charts to be like, here's how we threw them last time. Here's what their result was. Here's this. Here's what they tend to do. And you're doing this on pieces of paper. Like, I would have to travel with a whole second backpack that was just charts.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? That stuff. Yes, there's still a process of doing that. And
yep.
I think there still is 100% value in that stuff. But now everybody's broadcasting stuff. You can
yep.
just go on there and say, oh, that's what this pitch was, and this is what she did, and this is where, you know, that is.
Yeah.
It takes away, to me, what I thought my greatest value was as a catcher, was that if you got in the box and took a practice swing, I can see exactly where your hole is in your swing. But I would say scouting software has always been ahead of the curve because everybody wants a little bit easier
yep.
route.
A little more time, especially
yeah.
at this level where
yeah.
you only have so much manpower and resources
yep.
that anything
yep.
you can do to help in any way, it's going to go a long way with
yeah.
them. Yeah, it's exciting. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. You've been around, whether you knew it or not, since the get-go, because we stole all of your microphones at the beginning.
You did.
In
you
order
did.
To make sure that we could get this podcast going
oh.
and off the ground before we purchased our own.
Well, of course. I mean, what you guys are doing here is amazing
mm-hmm.
to be able to listen to those podcasts. And obviously, I'm going to be in tune to Alyssa Wahlberg and talking
sure,
to her and
sure.
Amy Watanabe, who
sure.
I was here as a, when she was a player here way back in the day. But what you're doing here in terms of what is alumni,
yeah.
bringing them back, just being able to hear their story.
Yeah.
Everybody has these different paths, especially at MSU
mm-hmm.
Denver. It's not just, okay, here's a four-year university. I'm going to start as a freshman. You know, they come
yeah.
in later in life. They
yep.
come in maybe even earlier in life. And so I think what you're doing here is fantastic. So, I mean, what I love about this university is we're all here to help each other out.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we're not here to put ourselves in this area. Sometimes it feels like athletics is way over here.
Mm-hmm.
But and hopefully in my new position, we're going to
mm-hmm.
utilize marketing communications, utilize you as much
mm-hmm.
as we can. And so it's my honor to
yeah.
be able to say I helped kind of start this
thing. Yeah, you totally did. and we had a rough vision, obviously, of what we wanted to accomplish. Mostly it was telling the story, right?
Yeah.
But to what end? And I can never fully concretely answer that because, sure, we can say like, oh, we're telling it so that somebody hears this and writes us a nice check for $100,000,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the reality of
right.
what we're actually,
yeah.
like, yeah, that is a great outcome. That is not what we're trying to do. We're trying to tell the story, I think, in a way that makes people feel like they can see a part of themselves as MSU Denver. And as we've done this now for 2 years, like, to me, that's where I'm like, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to sit here and hear you and I just talk about sports, but be like, no, man, I understand that. And what they said about student mentorship and being a leader and why they work so hard at the things that they do. And I see myself in that. And so I can see myself at MSU Denver. I can see myself as a part of MSU Denver. Or if it's an alum listening, hey, yeah, you know what? I had that same similar experience and I've brought that into my workforce or into my professional life or into my personal life. But for me, it's like, no, I just want to learn more about MSU Denver from the eyes and the experiences of the people that have been here so that when we have additional conversations, which constantly we have, whether we're in the airport or at the grocery store or we're talking to the students that we mentor and that work for us, learning about how we can better communicate who we are as a community, because I do genuinely believe this is a very unique place. I just want to know more about that so that somebody might heard something at one point to think that, nope, this is the place. All right. Anything else you wanted to chat about?
I don't think so. Ready for rapid fire?
Yeah. We're ready for rapid fire. See, he knows. Look at that. You don't even have to put in any sort of sound effects. We got it. All right. Since you don't know what's coming, these will hit you real hard.
Oh, man. Watch out.
All right. What is your favorite MSU Denver memory?
Gosh, there's so many of them. Been here such a long time. I will briefly say when the men's basketball team went to the national championship in 2013, not just because of that, but because we were treated like Division One, like Division One, Two, and Three were there. And so we got police escorts. We had these big buffet lunches. We got to hang out. I got to bring my broadcast students out. And so to hang out with the other broadcasters, Rachel Nichols, we got to talk to.
Very cool.
That was great. And I'll just briefly say when Alexis Benda, she was hurt. She couldn't play. So on her senior day, they put her out there on the last point to make a serve, got the serve to fall in for a point. She couldn't move. She, I think it was torn her ACL, if I'm not mistaken. I like bawled afterwards because like, what is she doing on the court? Oh my gosh, this is going to be her last game, her last point. And so that really like stuck out with me. And again, it goes back because I love Alexis Benda. She's actually with CCU right now. And, and they played each other in the conference tournament. So stuff like that. But that also, I was just like, I can't forget about that moment without being moved about it.
Yeah. I love it.
Sorry if that wasn't rapid fire.
No, that's just rapidy enough. All right. What does it mean to you to be a Roadrunner?
Got everything. Like I told you, like these are my kids, whether they're my broadcast kids or student athletes. I grew up when it was a community college, not knowing what my, I'm first generation, apparently. I didn't know what that meant until I started signing up for masters. And so I didn't have a blueprint on how to do it right. And a lot of people helped me along the way. And that's why I'm still giving back, because people gave back to me. Just the love I got from coaches, student athletes, the administration, the university. It was a family.
Yeah.
So it means everything to me because, I mean, I spent a lot of time on this campus and at games and even at home working.
It's unique and special, but we're very blessed here.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Last one. If you could put a billboard on campus with a piece of advice for all students to see, what would it say?
That was a tough one. My initial like favorite quote is you miss 100% of the shots you don't take by Wayne Gretzky.
Michael Scott.
Right. Yeah. Michael Scott. You know, and so like that, because I think this is what this campus teaches you, is that it's not going to be given to you. You really have to go and get it. And here at MSU Denver, you have so many people here that are willing to help you get to where you want to go. If you don't take that chance, if you don't take that step forward, you don't know what you're missing out on. And I know it seems difficult and hard and classes and then trying to do internships, but it's there for you. So take that shot. Go up there. Ask questions. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I went to school. I wasn't good enough to play sports. I know that. You know, but I think I wanted to do something in the realm of sports. I was like, well, I like writing, I guess. And so I started journalism classes. Then I figured out Met Media, changed my life forever. And that's because I took that leap. I called in work and said, I can't make it. Well, I have to finish school. And so I went into Met Media, talked to Matt Gunn, who's still a great friend of mine. He was a big mentor for me. He goes, yep, you don't need any experience. We're going to help you.
Yeah.
And now I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm still here.
Which is great. I mean, but I love it because I want to be that for someone else. And so take that shot. You don't know how high your ceiling
can get. Ugh. I love it, Eric. Well, this has been a delight.
Thank you for having me.
I do adore you.
Thank you.
I know. We didn't even talk about how you got here or why MSU Denver or Met Media. We just broed out on sports for an hour and a half.
It's our favorite thing, I guess.
It is, I guess. All anyone needs to know is that you stuck around long enough to be here 16 years. Yeah. Well, almost 25 years on campus.
I know.
It's half your life.
It's nuts to think. And just at that time, the counselors were like, here's a checklist.
Right.
Like, what do you mean checklist? Yeah. I'm supposed to just take everything on here and I took classes I wasn't supposed to take. I dropped out of classes I was supposed to take.
Sure.
But it made me say, go get it. Figure it out.
Yeah.
It's not going to be handed to you. And that's life, right? Very rarely someone's like, here's a great job. We found you. You're just so amazing. Yeah. It's like, no, you really got to put yourself out there. Yeah. And so I learned a lot of great lessons and happy to give back to this university. And thank you. I mean, you're a big part of my life. I always talk about how great you are and what you do and, you know, what this university does and alumni does and having Ruby and Davey here, amazing people. I mean,
Davey, that's why I love it.
I love when we come into work because we like the people we work with.
Yeah, 100%. That's what's kept me here. That and I can wear what I want and I can
cuss in
meetings.
You know, I was going to say that at some point. Like, I don't have to wear a suit.
100%.
I hope that does not change in my new title, but it's not happening.
Every time someone's like, oh, are you looking for other opportunities? And I was like, oh, no. Like, I get to wear an MSU Denver Athletics, like, whatever. Like, today it's just MSU Denver, but over a V-neck t-shirt and the same pair of pants I wear every day, but I have in six different colors.
There you go. There you go.
Spoiler alert, same pants every day, six different colors, and that's okay. You know, I can have my hair back in a headband. I can drop an occasional cuss word as needed, and none is the wiser. So for those reasons alone, the effort in trying to get another job would be atrocious.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Well, this was awesome.
Yeah. Happy to help anytime.
I know you are. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Bird Talk, special accommodation provided by University Advancement. Thank you to Ruby Matheny, Brandy Rideout, production provided by David Sharman, and I'm your host, Jamie Hurst. Keep running, roadies.